Today we've got Lorenzo from our crypto team to talk about Hyperliquid, decentralized exchanges, and how SpaceX is already trading on a market. And is it actually SpaceX, or is it all just fake internet money changing hands and pure speculation? Lorenzo, what is Hyperliquid?
Hey, Sam. Yeah, happy to be on. So Hyperliquid is right now, honestly, the biggest derivatives exchange in crypto. So they launched 2 years ago. It was a team, you know, that bootstrapped the product. They didn't raise any VC capital. They've really bootstrapped everything. They're a very small team, and they've kind of taken over the place of derivatives in crypto, and especially perpetual futures, right? Perpetual futures is a type of trading product that is really similar to normal dated futures in TradFi, but they have no expiry, right? They've been around in crypto forever. We've had, you know, hundreds of perpetual futures exchanges, and it's still a super competitive product. But they've been super popular, right? Because you can essentially, you know, have directional exposure on an asset with a lot of leverage up to 100x in some exchanges, not all. And it's purely synthetic, right? So you don't need to hold spot. They're cash settled. It's very easy to trade, and it's a product that is extremely popular with retail, right? And so Hyperliquid's been around for 2 years now. They're doing, I think, close to $3 trillion of volume a year. So to give you perspective, like, it's single-digit percentage of Binance, which is the biggest venue in crypto, doing, you know, tens of trillions a year. And so, they've really taken the oxygen out of the room. Maybe I can talk a bit about pre-IPO stocks or wherever you want to take it.
Well, maybe. So why has Hyperliquid been able to grow to that size?
Yeah.
We've been in, I would say, a crypto bear market here where, I don't know, there's the digital asset treasury companies that had its moment that seems to have passed. You have Strategy and Tom Lee, who've succeeded even in this downturn to kind of keep the momentum there. The long tail of crypto assets, you know, I feel like people have forgotten about, except for Hyperliquid. I still see it come up quite frequently on my X feed and in the ecosystem. So what is it that they are doing that's allowing them to stay relevant at this time? Is it all because of pre-IPO stocks, or is there something else going on?
Yeah, so it's a really good question. I think there's two answers to that question. Number one is, they've built a product that is superior to what we've had in crypto, right? Like, you have to think, all the perpetual futures exchanges up until now were essentially built either on Solana or Ethereum. And the reality is, because of the latency, this is a product that needs very low latency, right? Technically, that is quite hard to build. And the reality for now, even on Solana, which is a high performance chain, and there are very good perpetual futures teams there, we know quite a few, the product was just not there, right, from a trader's perspective. And so Hyperliquid, really what the decision they took is, like, hey, we're not going to build on Solana, we're not going to build on Ethereum, we're going to build our own chain, purpose built for perpetual futures, right? So think of Hyperliquid as Solana or Ethereum, but, like, purpose built from the ground up just for the perpetual futures exchange. And so the product experience for traders, for hedge funds overseas, is you know, competitive with essentially a centralized exchange. So that is, you know, one answer I would say. It's just, like, the experience, the latency, the performance of the product. The second one is HIP3 and builder codes, which we can talk about. Essentially, what Hyperliquid started with perpetual futures on crypto, right? Bitcoin, Ethereum, and all that stuff. But they launched in last year Builder codes or HIP3, and essentially what that is it allows for anyone to launch, like, a perpetual futures market by staking a number of HYPE tokens, right? And so essentially what they do is essentially licensing their technology, where, Sam, if you want, you can launch a perpetual futures on, I don't know, a commodity that, you know, on chocolate, for example, because I don't know, you want perpetual futures on chocolate. And so you'll do a ref share with Hyperliquid, and to bootstrap the market, you'll have to stake a pretty high number of HYPE tokens, right? And that really gave birth to TradeXYZ, which was one of the initial HIP3 market. And you should really think of TradeXYZ.
What does that acronym stand for?
Which one?
HIP3. Are you saying HIP3? HEP3?
Yeah, HIP3. It's a Hyperliquid Improvement Proposal, okay. Number 3, essentially. Yeah. So that's what HIP3 is.
Got it.
And so essentially, TradeXYZ was one of the first builder codes that was bootstrapped, and they started with commodities, right? And that was really the second boom of Hyperliquid, where they launch index, so they have like an S&P 500 license. They launch oil perpetuals, silver perpetuals, and gold perpetuals. And so, like in the last 3 months with the Iran war, that has really caught up like a lot, right? And so, traders, people that really wanted to have an opinion on the oil prices and what was happening in Iran, but markets were closed during the weekend and after hours, they were going to Hyperliquid essentially. And so that was really the second big wave of Hyperliquid adoption. And to give you an idea, like on some days, they were doing like 2 or 3% of volume of CME futures, which is, you know, huge. Like it's one of the biggest exchanges in the world. So that's really, I think, to answer your question, Sam, what now they are really, you know, at the center of the conversation.
Okay. And TradeXYZ, I see right now, I can't use it because it says not available in my region.
Yeah.
But there's a SpaceX market here.
Yeah.
SpaceX to USDC. What is that? They made it very clear that this is not actually SpaceX.
Yeah.
And it has no relation or claim to any equity.
Exactly.
So what is happening here, and how is that market existing?
Yeah. So it's a great question. So I mentioned earlier, I think one of the reasons perps are so easy to deploy and really are super popular is because you essentially have an order book with shorts and longs, right? And you have a market price, which is what determines, you know, where people are liquidated, the funding rates and all that stuff. And the only thing you need is really like an external oracle price, which is normally the spot price, right? Because, you know, you need to bring back the market price, like on the order book, on the perpetual futures exchange, to the spot price, right? It's like, if you think how dated futures work, why do they converge to spot price? Because there's always an arbitrage that is willing to take, you know, the trade, and it pulls back to the spot price, right? Like there's a cost of carry, like the carry trade, but essentially, like arbitrageurs are willing to pull the price near spot. And when you get near expiry, like the contract is actually finished like at the price of the contract, regardless where the future contract is trading. So for perps, you can bootstrap that with anything, right? The only thing is you need like an oracle price. And so the question is like, how do you build the oracle price for something that doesn't have a price like SpaceX, right? Because it's not public yet. You don't have a public equity. And so, you know, it's a bit technical. Like they use bands, and essentially like it's a time-weighted average price of the order book. So it's a bit more speculative, and it's not a real spot price. But, you know, the short of it is the first one was Cerebras, which went public like last week, right? And I think that's a pretty interesting a case study, actually. Like, Cerebras was priced at the IPO as at $180, right? First day of trading, it went up to $250, right? If you look at the TradeXYZ per price, it was priced at $240, right? So, like, it's actually very interesting where the open interest was fairly low, the volume was low, but the TradeXYZ market was already pricing way better than the IPO price, which was at 180, and that popped to 250, right? So like the TradeXYZ perp was at 240, which was, you know, a 3% range within the first kind of day of trading. And so, you know, that was Cerebras really caught on. Now SpaceX, obviously, which will go public like probably in the next month or probably in the next weeks. And so to give you perspective, like, the market was priced initially at $150, which was what, $1.7 trillion, which is, you know, rumored to be the SpaceX IPO price, more or less. And now, you know, we're speaking, and I'm looking at the screen, and it's trading at almost $200. So it's like a 30% increase from the $1.7 trillion. So it's trading above $2 trillion, essentially, right? And so I think it's going to be interesting now how the market evolves until the IPO date and what the volume of an open interest. But, you know, there's clearly a lot of demand right now for private names before IPO for a number of reasons. And clearly, I think, you know, Trade XYZ is a place where people are willing to engage, you know, on shorts and long on the name.
Okay, and then from a regulatory standpoint, I know Hyperliquid for a while wasn't even able to be purchased in the US. Now there are avenues to do that. Trade XYZ, can you use it in the US or no? It's like all of these. Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah, you can. So Hyperliquid, like, their main market is really outside of the US. You know, you're kind of geoblocked in the US for the foreseeable future, I would say. Like, they're having constructive discussions, obviously, with SEC, CFTC, and other regulators here in the U.S., but it's really a product that is, you know, catered predominantly to, like, sophisticated users and hedge funds, and it's outside of the U.S. I think in the U.S. today, like, it's illegal to trade, you know, a future on something that is not publicly traded, right, like SpaceX or Cerebras.
It's a crazy world. And so who are the people to watch in this decentralized exchange place? Obviously, we talked about Hyperliquid. You said the perps market is fairly competitive. Are there tons of players out there that are doing various things? And these are the ones that have just trickled up to someone like me, who are interesting players here?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think there's always going to be teams like taking a swing, you know, at Perps Exchange. It is a more profitable, you know, product, honestly, in crypto. Like Hyperliquid, to give you an idea, they're doing like $1 billion run rate revenue, right? Like, it's a team of 15 people. And so it's the most profitable product. There are great teams on Ethereum. On Solana, on Ethereum, there's Lighter. On Solana, you have Drift, you have Phoenix, you have other teams. But right now, really, like, Hyperliquid probably has like 80% market share. So I think, and what, you know, you need to watch, and what's interesting, I think more so for now, is Hyperliquid taking a share of the centralized venues, right? It's like, how far can they go? How much share can they take from, you know, the Asian exchanges, the Coinbases? I think in the U.S., even on the centralized exchanges, it's going to get way, way more competitive. Coinbase has like perpetual futures-like product that they're going to launch. Their other Kraken has the same. Their other exchanges launching. So it's going to get really, really competitive. I just think, like, you know, the Builder Codes and HIP-3 markets that Hyperliquid has started has really enabled them to bootstrap a lot of markets, you know, at the same time, and kind of, you know, decentralize the launch of these markets. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, if other teams kind of do the same. And even on pre-IPO stocks, like, can they get like real volume and real open interest? Will that change how, you know, like, investment banks underwrite these deals? I think there's a lot of things that can happen. But yeah, I think it's going to be very interesting.
It is interesting how it pairs with prediction markets, in a sense, right? It is just a different form of that, right? There's prediction markets on valuations of these companies as well, but this is a market format as opposed to a prediction market. That's right. It's just a different vehicle for the same type of thing.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think for some of these markets, there's a big overlap with prediction markets, right? Like, you can see how much is SpaceX going to trade. Like, there are markets like that on Kalshi and Polymarket. I just think for, like, event contracts, you know, prediction markets are probably like better suited, but like for pure equity like markets where you have sophisticated investors, they want leverage, they want cross margin, they already have a portfolio that they want to tap into. Perpetual futures are very much like dated futures and traditional markets, right? So they're just like a better fit, I think, for things like SpaceX, Cerebras, and like and financial products. But I agree, I think long term, Kalshi and Polymarket probably have their say in this battle.
Super interesting. Lorenzo, anything else we should be thinking about when it comes to these decentralized exchanges?
I think that's pretty much. Look, the thing that I'm really looking forward to it is really how big can they get, right? And can they start influence? This is really wisdom of the crowds, right? Like if you think of perps exchanges for especially pre-IPO and like prediction market, you know, can some of these market get big enough where they start to influence how people underwrite even like tender offers, rounds, or even IPOs? That I think is going to be like the really, really interesting part. Like so far, they're not big enough. I think they're still a source of information. But I think at some point you're going to see markets where, you know, they're going to the open interest on some of these markets are going to be bigger than the tender offers quarterly that these companies do. And people are going to start looking at these markets and say, hey, like maybe this is the real pricing. It's not really what the company is kind of offering. And so I think that's going to be like really interesting.
What a wild world we're headed for. Lorenzo, indeed. Thanks for joining us. And as they say, Hyperliquid.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
ARK Investment Management LLC is an SEC registered investment advisor. ARK, Wolf Financial, and Public are separate, unaffiliated entities and do not have a relationship with respect to any company marketing or selling the products or services of the others. ARK, Wolf Financial, and Public make no representation or warranties regarding and expressly disclaim any responsibility or liability for any acts, omissions, losses, or damages of the other entities or their affiliates, officers, employees, or agents. No company shall be liable for any indirect, incidental, consequential, or special damages arising out of or in connection with this podcast or its contents. The information provided in this show is for informational purposes only and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision and is subject to change without notice. It does not constitute either explicitly or implicitly any provision of services or products by ARK. An investor should determine for themselves whether a particular investment management service is suitable for their investment needs. All statements made regarding companies or securities are strictly beliefs and points of view held by ARK and or show guests and are not endorsements by ARK of any company or security or recommendations by ARK to buy, sell, or hold any security. Historical results are not indications of future results. Certain of the statements contained in this show may be statements of future expectations and other forward-looking statements that are based on ARK's current views and assumptions and involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results, performance, or events to differ materially from those expressed or implied in such statement. ARK assumes no obligation to update any forward-looking information. ARK and its clients, as well as its related persons, may, but do not necessarily, have financial interests in securities or issuers that are discussed. Certain information was obtained from sources that ARK believes to be reliable. However, ARK does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of any information obtained from any third party.